Good morning. This morning on Coffee at QAUK, we have Katie Basil on to talk about the Bethel Winter House. Here you go, Katie.
Good morning. Thanks, Iris. This is Katie Basil, your host. Thanks for joining us on Coffee at QAUK. Winter House serves as a seasonal homeless shelter in Bethel and is now in its 8th year. The organization has made its home at a few facilities around town, most recently at the Covenant Church. Now the board is exploring using the former Bethel Senior Center as a permanent facility with renovations funded by CARES money. Joining us to talk about Winter House's next move are board members John Cochran and Annie Cochran, and I believe Adam London as well. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
John, let's start with you. How did the idea of using the former Senior Center as a permanent shelter come about?
Well, I will say as a board, we got together along with members of the Bethel Housing Coalition to look at potential sites in town that would have enough space to be able to house our homeless population while still providing adequate social distancing required due to COVID. There were very few facilities that fit the bill, but the Senior Center was an early standout. As a building that we believe to be in solid condition, that wasn't currently being used, and that we might be able to get in and renovate and use as a permanent facility.
The building hasn't been used in a long time. What renovations will you need to do?
Well, the renovation work would be quite extensive. We did get a grant from Rasmussen Foundation and the Alaska Mental Health Trust to bring an engineering team out to take a look at the building. Renovation could run anywhere between $800,000 all the way up to $1.5 million, depending on what we want done. Luckily, the building is very structurally sound. A lot of the vandalism issues are cosmetic and can be easily repaired, and then a lot of the renovation will be on making it more suitable to be used as a homeless shelter and making sure that the building's fully up to code.
And you mentioned a couple of grants. Is there also CARES money coming from the city to fund the renovation?
Actually, not currently. The city did allocate some of its CARES Act money, about $60,000, towards operation of the winter house. However, that will be to operate the winter house from mid-September until the end of the year. That would not be in the new facility. The CARES Act money that we're using for the renovation at this point is mostly money coming from out of town. Right now we have a $725,000 grant from the Alaska Community Foundation, which is the bulk of the renovation money that we've collected so far. We have received a little bit of money from ONC, our local tribal, as well as from Bethel Community Services Foundation. But the bulk of the money would be coming from outside of Bethel.
And the building's owned by the city of Bethel. What are the next steps needed to move forward with this, and what's kind of the timeline?
Well, we've had discussions with administration on their willingness to transfer the building. Administration was very supportive. They believe that it would be a good use of the facility and kind of help alleviate some of the burden on the city as well. The next step would be both a conditional use permit, which we've applied for, and to bring the matter before council. An ordinance has been submitted, which should be introduced at the next council meeting for transferring the facility to us. A key part of that ordinance is if for some reason this program doesn't work out or fails, that ownership of the property and the building would revert to the city of Bethel.
And as far as timeline goes, when you're talking about CARES Act money, there's a hard deadline there. Do you think it's possible to get everything worked out and the renovations in place before the end of the year?
Our project manager believes that it is possible, yes, to get the building habitable and useful by the end of the year. That may not mean fully renovated to where we would want to see it as a final product, but it would mean usable for the remainder of the winter season as a functional homeless shelter while we continue to seek funds to further renovate the building.
And so you're looking at this as a long-term home for Winter House, it sounds like.
Correct. We're looking at this as a more permanent solution, and also to be able to possibly provide additional services to that vulnerable population.
Can you talk a little bit more about the services? So if this is approved, will Winter House broaden its services? Are there other social services that could potentially be housed at the same location?
Potentially, we've reached out to a number of partners. We've reached out to the Lions Club about possibly hosting a food bank out of that location to make it easier for the people that are coming to get food to access it, as well as soup kitchens. OMC has talked to us a little bit about maybe using the kitchen there to provide meals for senior services. And we've reached out to a couple of partners, including public health, and Bethel Family Clinic, about the possibility of some behavioral health or even some case management efforts. So there are numerous partnerships that we would love to explore.
Great. And Adam, if you're on, and Annie, feel free to jump in at any point as well. Recently in Anchorage, there's been protesting against using CARES funding to purchase buildings for homeless shelters, and some residents were more broadly protesting having a shelter located in their neighborhood. Do you anticipate any protests here in Bethel?
I can speak that out a little, and then we'll let the others chime in. Honestly, I'm not sure. As we go through the conditional use permit for the Planning Commission, there will be an opportunity for the public to be heard. Everybody knows that these are problems that need to be solved, but there's always kind of a not-in-my-backyard syndrome sometimes. So doing everything we can to show the public and the people in that neighborhood that we want to be a help and not a burden to their community, that we want to alleviate problems, and that we want to provide additional services, I think is going to be key. I don't know if Adam and Annie would like to add to that.
I think that the key item here, Katie, has really been that over the years when the Winter House has been operating, we noticed that there's a significant decline for calls for the police, the CSP, and for individuals utilizing beds in the ER. And so these individuals who are currently experiencing homelessness, they still are residents of our community. They're still siblings of individuals that are living here. They're cousins. They're the aunts and uncles of other individuals. You know, they're residents, and they do participate in a lot of community activities. Providing them a safe place actually gives our community a safer environment because they're not going out and doing the behaviors that get them in trouble, that get them landed with the police or the CSP. They're not being forced to use the beds at the emergency room. They're able to come in, get a meal, settle down and get some rest. They're able to access water, so they're able to increase their ability to wash their hands. They're able to train in masks. So our shelter hasn't been the burdensome shelter that you see a lot of times in Anchorage. You know, everybody's been very happy and very wanting to support the Winter House when it's open.
Adam, do you want to chime in at all? I think we might have lost Adam, but thank you, Annie, for that. And just generally, can you talk a bit more about the need for a homeless shelter? Why is it so important for Bethel to have a year-round shelter, you know, potentially not just winter? And what are some of the numbers as far as how many people are staying there for the night, how many meals are being served?
I can chime in to start that a little bit. Our average is about 17 people. We operate from a low population of 6 or 7, all the way up to a high of 30 to 35 people in the shelter a night. It seems to be dependent on a lot of factors, not just weather. But there's definitely a need for a year-round shelter, and that was highlighted last week by the death of one of our frequent guests who passed away. Actually right across the street from the Covenant Church where the Winter House was temporarily housed. And I'm not sure if he was in a vehicle or under a vehicle, but had some sort of a medical issue while he was sleeping or attempting to get rest that caused him to pass away. And unfortunately, if we had him sheltered at that time, we would have been able to see the signs of that and call for the appropriate medical help, and it may have saved that life. A lot of people think it's just weather, but there's a lot of other barriers that having a shelter will help these people with. Annie, would you like to chime in?
Yeah, I think that the reason that we need a year-round shelter is because we've only been housing individuals to avoid deaths from exposure in the wintertime when we see these really, really low temperatures. When we close the doors, we know that these individuals aren't magically housed. So being able to provide that case management, maybe even some food services, I know that some other homeless shelters can provide a variety of additional behavioral health support. You know, being able to meet individuals where they are and get them the treatment that they need so that they can go on to be productive members of our community, I think it's so important, and it just doesn't end 4 months out of the year.
I'm curious how many staff currently run Winter House and how many staff you would need to run it year-round, and then also just taking into consideration the spread of, the potential spread of COVID, if you would need more staffing.
We don't have a lot of experience, obviously, running a year-round shelter, so we reached out to some partners for assistance on that, specifically the Brother Francis Shelter in Anchorage has been a big help at advising us. Based on our population, 2 to 3 staff members a night will be enough to run the shelter. Typically, we have one male and one female staff member to observe the guests overnight, as well as one part-time staff member who assists with check-in and meal activities up until the lights out. We feel that with our population being what it is, we'll be able to function and maintain those staffing levels. There have been some concerns about congregate shelters when it comes to COVID, but the position of the CDC and most medical professionals that we've reached out to, including public health, is that shelters are still a very good solution because it allows us to quickly identify people that are potentially experiencing symptoms, get them to the appropriate medical personnel so that they can be quarantined. It makes the contact tracing a lot easier. And these people aren't out intermixing with the population as a whole. We're able to quickly identify people that may be COVID positive and get them the help that they need.
And this winter, what approaches will you use to actually prevent the spread of COVID-19?
We will be doing a lot of the things that are being recommended by the Department of Health and Human Services. We've planned our shelter facilities specifically around providing the proper distancing so that people can maintain 6-foot spacing. We are providing hygiene opportunities for people to be able to wash their hands, to be able to shower, to be able to have laundry done, and specifically to have a mask exchange. So every time they come into the shelter, they can trade in their old mask and get a new mask, thereby keeping them safer and helping them to protect each other. The other thing we can do is train our staff to just watch for those signs, people that are coughing, people that are exhibiting a fever, and get those people tested and seen by a health professional as quickly as possible.
Another question I have, actually a colleague of mine was wondering, if Winter House moved to a year-round facility, would you change the name?
Honestly, we haven't thought a lot about that. The name obviously harkens back to our original purpose, which was to prevent death by exposure during the winter. That was the catalyst. We had a lot of deaths one year that got a group of us together to start the shelter, and my wife Annie was very involved in that initial process and then sort of sucked me into it as well. Honestly, we haven't given it a lot of thought. What do you think, Annie?
I think that it's a great name and it served a purpose, but if we were operating year-round, we might have to go ahead and take some community input, maybe some guest input, as well as the board input, and see what that is. You know, the reason that we did start was to eliminate deaths by exposure, but we realized that it was a much larger opportunity for us to really serve this vulnerable community and to really have an impact in turning their lives around. You know, we've seen many individuals who have come through as guests of the Winter House become very successful, be able to get their own housing, be able to hold down long-term jobs, You know, so we're kind of just that stopgap measure, but we might have to consider a name change.
I'd actually love that name. I'd be a little sad to see it go. We have about 1 minute left. Do either of you have anything you want to add about this project or how the community can perhaps participate or support the move to the senior center?
I'd just like to chime in really quick. You know, I think that sometimes there's some concern about bringing a full-time homeless shelter into a community, but realizing that currently that building is a target for vandalism. There are people breaking into the building. There's a heavy insurance risk. It's been attempted to be burned down once or twice. So I think that it will actually be safer for the community as a whole, and especially for the children living in that community, to have that building monitored and maintained full time. And I'm hoping that over time that our program there will be seen as a real asset to the community. Anybody that wants to help can definitely either contact Bethel Community Services Foundation or donate directly to Bethel Winter House through BethelWinterHouse.org. And we appreciate all the support that we've received from the community. I mean, we've operated for years with volunteer meals from members of the community that have been there every year for us. And so I just want to thank all the people that have been so supportive of this effort.
Thank you, John. Annie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
You know, I think that individuals experiencing homelessness doesn't really look like we think that it looks. You know, we've had over 200 unique individuals each year, and I think that this is just a real safe place for individuals to get out of an unhealthy situation for the night, if that's what it needs, and then to get back to normal life. And I think that we need to realize that these are our community members, and so by supporting Winter House, you're actually supporting making sure that our community is healthier.
Thank you both so much for joining us. That was Annie Cochran and John Cochran, board members of the Bethel Winter House, talking about a potential move for the facility to the former Bethel Senior Center. Have a great day. I'm your host, Katie Basil, and this was Coffee at KYUK. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Katie.
That's it for Coffee this morning. We thank everyone for joining us. Beauty.